Good morning, Living Hope Church. It is such a joy to be with you. Kids, if you don't already have one, an activity page, you can now quietly go to the back of the church and you'll see on the back tables and you can grab one along with some crayons, help you follow along today. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Mike Santoro. I serve as our elder of church of missions and church planting. I'm also an aspiring church planter and currently in training part-time at Grimke Seminary. Lord willing, we Living Hope will plant a healthy church in your county in the next few years. And the elders had our annual retreat this past month, and I'm happy to report to you that we discussed at great length the when, the how, and even considered the where of this new church plant, and more to come soon. But know, church, that the wheels are in motion, the pieces are coming together, we have an adventure ahead of us, and it's going to stretch us all in many ways. So please continue to pray for wisdom for the elders to navigate well through this process. More to come in the coming months. Stay tuned. And as we transition to the message today, I want to say it's such a deep honor and a privilege to teach from this pulpit. The elders here at Living Hope are committed to provide faithful teaching from God's Word and to proclaim, as Paul says in Colossians, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. We want you to be mature Christians, and we want you always to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as the Apostle Peter says in his second letter. Therefore, this summer, we are doing a deep dive on our great salvation, God's plan to save us. This is a rich and beautiful series to help us better understand how salvation works by what theologians call the order of salvation. This unbreakable chain of events that brings clarity and assurance to our faith. Today we are on the fourth link, calling. It's important to see where we've come from and where we're going. So let's retrace our steps a little bit and let's look ahead a little bit so we can get oriented. So far, we've covered creation and fall, union in Christ, and last week Pastor Tim taught on election. And in the next 5 weeks, we're going to cover regeneration and conversion and justification and adoption and sanctification. And then there's still three more after that. So I already know what some of you are thinking. You're saying, Mike, this is some heady stuff. This seems deep and complicated. 12 weeks of theological jargon. I mean, isn't Christianity just simpler than this? You know, you repent, you believe. It's just that simple, isn't it? And the answer is yes. Yes, from one perspective, the gospel is so simple that even a child can understand and come to true faith. Like seeing the ocean from a far distance, a child can say, there it is. That's the ocean. I see it. I can even hear it. It's right there. It's water. And that is true. But from another perspective, the gospel is also vast and deep, and it's like walking up to the water's edge and gazing out at this magnificent ocean in front of you. And any mature person recognizes the vastness of what is in front of them. And as they look to the horizon, all they can see, as far as the eye can see, they're awestruck by not only what they can see across the surface of the water, but they know, perhaps even more than the child, that there is a whole world of things, beautiful things, underneath the waters. And so we know that we can't possibly imagine all of the things and understand all the things there. It would take even more than a lifetime to explore it all. The wonder of the gospel and our salvation is kind of like that. Both scenarios are true. You can see the ocean from afar and believe it, and it is right. Just seeing the gospel from afar, you can also stand right next to it and marvel at it, and marvel at its unsearchable greatness. That is what we're doing this summer. We are marveling together at our great salvation up close, standing right in front of its magnificence. And one more important point of clarification. Many of these links that you see in the chain, they happen simultaneously. So we're stretching out this chain end to end, and we are kind of looking independently at each link. But that doesn't mean that there is an equal amount of time between each link. It doesn't take 12 weeks to become saved. Salvation can happen in a moment. Some would say it's even an instant. The next 6 weeks, calling, regeneration, conversion, justification, adoption, faith, and obedience, these six can happen in an instant. Hear this, if you are here today and you are not saved, then this very day, you can hear the Father's call, you can accept the Spirit's inward call, and you can follow the Son's kingdom call. And your sinful heart can be regenerated, and you can be converted and declared justified and become a fully adopted son or daughter of the Lord through faith and obedience. All of this can happen for you today. What a mighty God we serve. So, we are only slowing it down in these messages week by week in order to examine them closely, to breathe them in deeply into our souls, so that we can have assurance and boldness and confidence and maturity in our faith. And so with all this in mind, today we zoom in and take a closer look at what calling is. And we are going to pursue answers to these three begging questions that you likely have. The first is, what are the two types of calling? And who calls and why, too? Number two is, how do you hear God's calling? And number three is, when do you know you are called? Kids, I'm going to need you in a few minutes, a few volunteers, a little later, but please keep listening so that you can be ready to help when we get there. And please notice that there are some notes in your paper there. Take some notes, look for the answers. They're coming soon. So our primary passage today will be 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 to 13. You can turn there now. It's page 986 in your Bibles if you're using one from the back tables. This letter was written by the Apostle Paul to the Thessalonian church. He was likely writing this letter from Corinth, and he previously spent about 2 years with the Thessalonians before he was chased out due to persecution. But for those 2 years, he loved them, he ministered to them, and he helped them grow and mature in their faith. But after that, Paul left, and he felt burdened for the Thessalonians. He worried about the perseverance of their faith. He wanted to make sure that they were remaining in their faith. And so he sent Timothy. He sent Timothy to check on them. And then Timothy came back and reported to him that the Thessalonian church was doing well and they were staying strong despite all the persecutions. And so Paul writes this encouraging email back to the Thessalonian church. Check that. It was just a handwritten letter. I'm just making sure you're paying attention. And because Paul spent so much time with them, intimately knowing them by name, similar to how a good pastor or a good shepherd know his sheep by name, Paul uses familial analogies to help describe, like mothering and fathering and brothering, to express his intimacy with them. And so, starting in verse 11, Paul writes this, and we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers. This is the word of the Lord. Father, reveal yourself to us today so that we can see and hear you more clearly. Open our hearts. Help me to teach faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to learn three things from this passage today about calling. Kids, here are your answers. One, hear the Father's call, ears and eyes. Accept the Spirit's inward calling and follow the Son's kingdom call. Ears and eyes, heart and mind, hands and feet. So kids, we have these three questions and we have three answers, but just like your math teacher says, in order to get credit, you need to what? Show your work. Precisely, precisely. So now we're going to spend the rest of our time showing our work, understanding how we get from these three questions to these three answers. Make sense? So, question number one, what are the two types of calling? First question, right out of the gate, it's important for us to distinguish between two different and close, but closely connected types of calling. The first type is called the gospel call, or the general call. And the second type is the effectual calling, or otherwise known as the internal calling, or the inward calling. So what's the difference? Simply put, the general gospel call are all instances where the good news of the gospel is shared publicly through teaching or preaching, or shared relationally through a friend or family member, or read privately through reading your Bible. The general gospel call is an outward invitation that is sent out to everyone who can hear and see, and by God's design, it is most typically shared and proclaimed from Christian to Christian. And yet, the general gospel message may still be resisted, ignored, or dismissed. And we know this to be true. Just think of someone who you know that here, you just because someone hears the gospel preached, it doesn't, and shared, it doesn't mean that they automatically are saved. It's not a guarantee. How many of you know someone who's, you know, has heard the gospel message, maybe from a sermon or if you even shared it with them, and yet there seems to be little effect on them? They did not seem to respond in faith then, and there is no evidence of fruit in their life now. And what about you? How many times did you hear the gospel before it was illuminated in your heart? If you think back, there was a moment when the gospel was unmistakably clear to you, and your soul and your heart were irresistibly drawn to Jesus in a new way. That latter calling is the second type of calling, known as the effectual calling, or the internal calling, or the inward calling. All three are ways of saying the same thing. It's the moment when God the Father draws you specifically to a, or particularly to the Son, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says it so clearly here in John 6:44. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Effectual calling starts with God. He is the initiator of your faith and belief. It is so clear here from Jesus. He says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. Hear this well. Our sovereign God acts first. He draws you to his Son in order to save you specifically. We see this truth again ring true just as clear in Acts chapter 16, verse 14, about the conversion story of a woman named Lydia. Look at who the author Luke attributes to Lydia's conversion. Luke describes what happens when he and Paul arrived in the city of Philippi. The gospel writer Luke writes this in the book of Acts. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate to the riverside, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the women who had come together. One who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple goods, who was a worshiper of God. Listen to this. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what Paul said. And after, she was baptized, and her whole household as well. The Lord opened her heart, it says. And only when the Lord acted in this way and opened her heart could she come to saving faith. And I love how it also testifies here that she was baptized right away. Because baptism is a public profession of an inward change. Lydia was changed inwardly by God when he opened her heart. And notice how it says she was a worshiper of God before he opened her heart. She likely heard the gospel call before, but in this particular moment, while she was hearing the preaching of Paul, the Lord drew Lydia to himself, and opened her heart by means of an inward call of the Holy Spirit's power. And once Lydia had this inward change, she was so excited that she wanted to publicly profess her faith through baptism, and her household too. Do you see the distinction? If you prefer seeing a clear definition of effectual calling, here is one good one from the theologian Wayne Grudem. He defines effective calling this way. He says, effective calling is an act of God the Father speaking through the human proclamation of the gospel in which he summons people to himself in such a way that they respond in saving faith. This summarizes everything we've said and looked at so far. Notice that it starts with an act of God, but God also uses the human proclamation of the gospel, otherwise known as the general call. So you can't have the effectual call without the general call. That's why it's so important for Christians to continue to evangelize and share the good news with everyone and anyone, because that is how God in his sovereign will chose to do it. He chose to use us to spread the good news and play a role in his great master plan to save humanity and restore salvation from the destruction of sin. This great cosmic plan from Genesis to Revelation includes not only your personal salvation, which would have been enough, but his great cosmic plan also includes your participation in sharing the good news with others so that they too can experience the effectual call. You can't have an effectual call without a general gospel call. Both are required, even though they're different. And this is really good news for us because, listen, we are not the ones responsible for the effective calling, for effectively calling others. It is the Lord who does that. We are only responsible for sharing the good news, sharing the truth, the general gospel call, freely and frequently with everyone. So take heart. Don't worry if you don't think your evangelistic efforts are effective. God's efforts are always effective. What I mean is, if God wants to draw that person to himself, then he will, regardless of how effective you think your sharing of the gospel was. John Piper illustrates the differences between these two calls like this. He says, the gospel call is like sending an invitation in the mail, but the effectual call is like God driving to your house, picking you up, and bringing you to the banquet of salvation. Now let's go back to our passage in Thessalonians and look once more closely now through this lens. And you'll see how in verse 12 and 13 show us both these examples of the general call and the specific effectual call. It says, for you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. Effectual call. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, gospel call, which you heard from us, gospel call, you accepted it, effectual call. Not as the word of men, but as it really was, the word of God, effectual call, which is at work in you, believers, effectual call. Do you see how both are intertwined within the passage? You can't have one without the other, but they're clearly distinct. Because you can also imagine that Paul had preached the gospel in other places that did not receive the effectual call. You can imagine other places where they rejected the gospel, but with the Thessalonians, something was different. Paul even said it in the beginning of his letter in chapter 1, verse 4. He said, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. What was the difference between the Thessalonians and maybe some other places? They did not only hear the Father's gospel call with their eyes and their ears, they also accepted the Spirit's inward call in their heart and mind. God revealed himself to the Thessalonians. So now that we know there are two types of calling, you might be asking, okay, but how do you hear this second type, this effectual calling? What does it sound like? And for this, I'm going to need a few young volunteers for quick illustration around the ages of maybe 7 to 12-ish, and your mom or dad has to be here today. That's another thing. All right, so raise your hand if you'd like to join. Christopher, why don't you come up? I need maybe two more volunteers. Young lady, that'd be great if you can come up there. Yep. Come up here. Christopher, you stand right here. Young lady, need one more, maybe one more volunteer. Anyone? Young man back there, come on up, come on up. Is your mom or dad here? Mom or dad here, yes? Oh, they need to be in the service right now. Are they here? Oh, they are, okay, come on up, come on up, come on up. Come on up. All right, Christopher, why don't you stand right here first, and you stand next to him over here. Face the audience there, come on up, come on up. You can slide over a little bit. Okay, here's what we're going to do. Come over here, stand here. All right, so you're going to face, this is going to be a challenge, okay? You guys are going to face away from the audience, okay, from the congregation. And Christopher is up first. And so I want a few people to try to call Christopher by name, all right? And I want Christopher, the challenge is you need to only turn around when you hear your mother call your name. Got that? You think you can do that? All right, everybody, you guys can all turn around. Well, you guys all turn around. All right, and let's just get a few people to call Chris or Christopher, and let's see if he hears his mother's name from those voices. Whoa, well done, well done. Thank you, Chris. Good job. And your name, young lady? What's your name?
June.
June? All right. This is June, all right? Let's give it a shot. Good job. Thank you. Thank you. And your name? Is your mom here? I think so. Yeah, okay. What's your name?
Daniel.
Daniel. This is Daniel. Look at that. Beautiful. Well done. Good job, guys. Good job. Excellent job, guys. So, hey, we went 3 for 3. That's great. Why did the children, let me ask you this, why did the children not turn their heads just to anyone who called their name? Why did they only turn their head when they heard and recognized their parents' voice specifically? Because the parents know the child and the child knows the parents. Because they know that they belong to them. The child said, "This is my mother's voice. That's my father's voice." So just as the children turn their ears toward their own mother or father, Jesus says he knows us intimately by name. And when he calls us, we will hear his voice. He says it right here in John 10:27 and also in verses 2-4. Take a look. He says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." And in verses 2, he says, "He who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice," the shepherd's voice, "and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." So the question is, how do you hear God's effectual calling? How do you follow the good shepherd, Jesus? The answer, you have to first know what his voice sounds like. You have to be familiar with his voice. Imagine if you had a child that never heard his mother or father's voice. How would he know to respond to the call? You have to first hear the general call so that God can open your heart to understand and reveal himself to you through the Spirit's power. And only the Spirit can take away those blinders away from you so that you can see and hear his words in a new light. And listening to Jesus doesn't just stop, hear this, when you first hear him call you. It's ongoing. It's continuous. In order to follow him, you have to keep moving. Even after you come to faith, you're still required to listen and obey the shepherd's voice to follow him. So I ask you, are you listening for Jesus? Are you reading his words eagerly in the Bible? Are you paying attention during sermons? Are you paying attention in life groups? Are you spending time with him in your word, in his word, and in prayer? Do you know what his voice sounds like? Pastor J.A. Meters reminds us that in 2025, we hear Jesus with our, not just our ears. He says it like this: "Today, we can hear Jesus speak with our eyeballs, in red letters, yes, and in all the black ones too." Hey, so we're 6 months into the year so far, halfway through. How is your Bible reading going so far? I mean, statistically speaking, many of you are probably struggling to be and would like to be more consistent. But let me exhort you, if that's you, then don't be discouraged. You don't have to give up and wait until January to try another Bible reading plan. Let me commend to you, as I've done before, a simple plan that is wonderful and flexible and you can do for the rest of your life. And all you need are 3 bookmarks. Put 1 in the Old Testament, 1 in the New Testament, and 1 in the Psalms. And your goal is simple. Keep moving bookmarks. Had a crazy week, missed reading 5 days in a row? No problem. Just pick up where you left off and start moving bookmarks again. Sometimes you may want to stay in a passage or a chapter for many days in a row, and that's great too. You can do that. There is no timeline. I preached a message last year called Stand Firm in the Word, and there's more details on plans there on different ones, but on the back tables, you'll see a copy of 3 bookmarks. I think I have one here. Yep. You'll see these three bookmarks in the back, on the back tables, and there are suggestive reading order in the back of each of these, so feel free to take those. And if you're not a follower of Christ, I commend you to start reading your Bible, start reading God's Word daily, and start with somewhere in the Gospels, the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You can read them in any order you like. The point is, the Apostle Paul says it best, so faith comes from hearing and hearing through the Word of Christ. Therefore, love God's Word, read God's Word, listen to God's Word. That is where faith comes from, and that is how you will know the shepherd's voice when he calls you by name. Look now back at our passage in Thessalonians. It says here, for you know how like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God. So I exhort you, Christian, I encourage you, I charge you, walk in a manner worthy of God by following the Lord and listening to his voice call you each day by name. The Lord is speaking to you through his word and spirit. Keep listening and follow the Son's kingdom call. Live for the kingdom. And so our last question for today that you might be asking yourself is, when do you know you are called? Answer, it's so simple. When you are actively following the Lord. Yes, there is a moment when you are saved from death to life, but it's not like standing on one side of the street is death and standing on the other side of the street is life. Rather, it's more like standing on one side of the street is death, lifeless, dormant, still, inactive, stuck, and on the other side of the street is living and walking an active life. Christianity is not a box to check. It's a life to live. It's not a place to be. It's a place to be alive. Christianity is not a place to be. It is a place to be alive. Jesus didn't say to his disciples, come and sit with me. He said, come, follow me. Walk with me. Abide with me, remain in me, stay with me, follow me. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Do you see, God is not calling you to stand with Jesus. He's calling you to follow Jesus. Christian, God is not calling you to simply stand with Jesus. He's calling you to follow Jesus. Do you want to follow him? Are you actively following him? What does that look like? It's so simple. Let me say it like this. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, the promised Messiah who saves the world? Just take the two words, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Hebrew name Yeshua, which means God saves. And Christ is a title, not his last name. The title is the Anointed One or Messiah. So when Jesus asked his disciples in Matthew 16, who do you say that I am? Peter famously boldly proclaimed, you are the Christos, Messiah, the Son of the living God. Two words, Jesus Christ, the Lord saves, the Anointed Messiah. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the long-awaited Savior sent by God to save the world? Now more personally, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the promised Savior sent by God to save you specifically from your sins? That is the question that has the power to save. And hear this, Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay the penalty for your sins. If you believe in the name of Jesus Christ, then yes, that is 100% true. And the debt you owe for your past sins, past, present, future are paid in full, and you're no longer guilty when you stand before God. All true, and that is good news, full stop. And if that's all God did, then that would have been enough, but that is not where the good news of the gospel ends. It's not just that Jesus paid the penalty for your sins. He also saves you from the destructiveness of your sinful life. While you actively follow Christ, he is rescuing you from all the damage that sin has made in your life. God loves you so much that he can't bear to watch you destroy your life and hurt others and destroy their lives too. And this is the beauty of the gospel, that God is so merciful and so compassionate, and his love for us is so deep and personal that he doesn't just pay our debt for all of our sins, he also gives us a new life and a new way to live that is holy and pure and lovely and honorable and joyful and beautiful and everything that is good and right. This truth is glorious, and we have newness of life. We are made new. The old is gone. The new has come. Following Jesus is not a box to check. It is a life to live. It's not a place to be. It is a place to be alive. Do you see? God is not calling you to stand with Jesus. He's calling you to follow Jesus. Parents, let me help you parents understand this even clearer. When you think of your children and the hope that you have for them to know the Lord, are you saying, I want my children to stand with Jesus? Or are you saying, I want my children to follow Jesus? It's so plainly clear, isn't it? And so remember, Jesus predestined to save you by name, individually, intentionally, and internally. And before you dismiss everything I just said because you think you're unworthy, know this. Jesus didn't call the strongest and the brightest to be his followers. He chose ordinary, teachable men and women. You don't have to work harder before you repent and believe in the Lord and follow him. You don't have to accomplish something great or achieve a degree or gain experience or become a subject matter expert to be worthy of the Lord choosing you to be his follower. That is not how it works. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and in Christ alone. And if you're hearing this and you do not yet have faith, then please listen carefully. The Lord calls you often when you are at your lowest, darkest, dirtiest, and most sinful time in your life. When you are in the gutter, when you've hit rock bottom, when you're in complete despair and desperation, when you feel completely lost and abandoned and worthless and ashamed and feel completely unworthy of any love, when you feel you deserve nothing, and you feel you can offer God nothing, and you feel a complete and utter failure. When your soul is starving and your body is weak, it's often in these moments in your life when God the Father looks at you with compassion and he sends his Son, the Good Shepherd, to call you by name, and he says to your tired and weary soul, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give rest to your souls. He removes your blindness and says, come and see. He heals your lameness and broken spirit and says, pick up your mat and walk. He feeds your hungry soul and says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. He seeks you out when you are lost. He leaves the 99 sheep and he goes after you individually and he calls you by name until he finds you. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they will follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one can snatch them out of my hand. He casts out evil from your body and life by the power of his word and says, come out of him and never enter him again. And he promises all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. The Lord calls you often when you are at the lowest, darkest, dirtiest, and most sinful, broken time in your life. And that's why the gospel is good news. It's the greatest news. God has a plan to redeem you and to restore all creation and restore this broken world to be a new creation with no more pain and no more suffering and no more fear. And through his great compassion and mercy and wisdom, he sent his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, God saves as the Messiah to build his kingdom here on earth through the power of his death and resurrection. And his kingdom will come in fullness at the end of the age. But until then, God has chosen by his grace to call one sinner at a time to follow him. And by his mercy, he doesn't ask us to follow him alone, but he gives us a local church community. so that we can abide well, so that we can encourage one another, so that we can charge one another, and that we can love one another. Just like Paul encouraged the Thessalonians, Christians, you are not alone, Living Hope Church. We are all in this together. So let's follow the Son's kingdom call. As the worship team comes up, I want to invite also the elders and the deacons and their wives to both the front and the back of the auditorium. And if you're here today and you're hearing this message for the first time, and God is revealing in your heart, and you are accepting the Spirit's inward call, then please come forward and we will pray for you. Or if you prefer, you can go to one of the people standing in the back. Or if you have a family member, a friend, and you want to pray for their salvation, then please come and receive prayer. Or maybe you just need some encouragement from a brother or sister in Christ. Maybe you're going through a hard time or a trial that's testing your faith, and you're struggling to hear the Lord's voice, and you need to be spurred on like the Thessalonian church. Then please come forward and let a brother or sister in Christ pray for you and encourage you. Father God, we submit to you. We kneel before you. We are in awe of you. We stand before this magnificent ocean of your greatness, of your salvation. And we are just blown away at your mercy and your compassion to love us. Father, work in our hearts. Reveal yourself to us. Strengthen our faith. Give us assurance. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.